David. Welcome. It's fantastic to see everyone this morning. I absolutely love Christmas. I love New Year. I love spending time with family. I love spending time with friends. I love everything that goes with it. I love celebrating the meaning of Christmas. But I always love afterwards coming back and coming back to church on the first Sunday back. And I suppose last week was the first Sunday back. But I suppose this is the second Sunday back, really, so my point is null and void. But anyway, I love coming back. I love coming back and seeing everybody, and just the strength that we get from seeing each other, and that what God is doing amongst us as a family is incredible. And sometimes I start the morning just feeling a bit weak, and I come into worship with everybody, and I just feel God's strength there. Not just me, but everybody. I feel that as we meet together, it's such a powerful thing that we do when we come together and when we worship. So that's absolutely fantastic. So last week we heard a couple of messages about the great hope we have in Jesus and fixing our eyes on him and being given what we need to persevere in the race that we're running. Two fantastic messages about what we need to do. I really want to build on what was shared last week as we consider where we are in the new year. I'm just going to pray before I start, just so I'm fully depending on what God is doing. But I'm just going to pray and I'll start sharing. So, Jesus, I just thank you so much that you wear the victor's crown. Lord, I thank you that you have won the victory. Lord, you have defeated death. You have raised us to new life. And Lord, now we are seated in heavenly places with you. I thank you that we are your children. We're your sons and we're your daughters. And we're your family. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done. I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would teach us about your great love for us. And all that you want to do in us this year. Lord, just renew our hearts this morning, I pray, as we come as we come before you and listen to what you have to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, New Year's Day is a day like any other, but it's a day where people traditionally reflect on where they are in life and have a little think about where we've been and where we're going and what we're doing. And it's viewed as a new start. But as I shared last year, each day is fresh for us who know Jesus. In sort of a worldly perspective, New Year's Day is like the day where you can sort your life out. And it often seems like there aren't any other days where that can happen. But in God, every day is new. Every day is a new start and is fresh with his blessing for us, which is amazing. His love is fresh and new to us this morning. Whatever happened yesterday, we start today knowing that his favour is with us. His heart is for us, and his forgiveness is freshly given to us this morning. He's not tired of us. He will never tire of us. God never sits up in the heavens, looks down, and says, "Oh, again? Really? Are you praying again? Are you coming before me again to say sorry? Are you coming before me again saying, this time, Lord, I'll do it right?" He never tires of us. Every time we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And it's such an encouragement to us. And I really want to encourage you with that this morning. He's made promises to us. And he will keep them. He will keep every promise. Now, I'm going to read quite a lot of scripture this morning. But I'm going to start with this one. And you may know where it's from. But it's from a book called Lamentations, chapter 3. Good for a New Year message. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the context a bit later on. But this is perhaps a well-known set of words to you. So I'm reading from verse 22 from chapter 3 of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks it. It's an amazing verse. You may well have heard it before in the, there's a song called The Steadfast Love of the Lord Never Ceases, which is an amazing song, but it just takes those words because they are so incredible. Jesus' love towards us is steadfast. Year after year, day after day, every minute of every day, God's love is steadfast towards us. He's continually committed to us, and he will do all that he has promised. Now, the enemy comes and tries to put things in our mind, questions often. I don't know if you've noticed that. The enemy often attacks us through questions. And we ask questions like, does he really love me? Does he really love me? You can kind of emphasize different words in that sentence. Does he really love me? Does he really love me? Does he really love me? You can emphasize different bits of that. Am I absolutely sure that I haven't blown it for good this time? You know, the enemy puts those thoughts in our head. But God is absolutely clear to us that because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we are kept in his love for eternity. And we cannot be shaken free, no matter what is sent against us. Remember those amazing verses where it says, we are receiving not a kingdom that can be shaken and will endure. That would be pretty good. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It cannot be shaken. There is shaking in the things around us, but the kingdom that we are receiving in our lives cannot even be shaken. So I'm going to read another scripture. Paul puts it like this in Romans 8. I know lots of you love Romans 8, and it's a good time of year to remind ourselves of his promises. So in Romans 8, verse 31 to the end. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who also loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can't add anything to that. Jesus has done it all for us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And nothing can separate us from his love. We cannot be shaken free, no matter what we do. And I don't know about you, I find it quite hard to believe that all the time. It's kind of easier on a Sunday when we're all together. It's much harder on a Monday morning when I'm going into work. Tomorrow I'm going back to work. I've had my 2 weeks off. I'm going back to school as a teacher, which many of you know. I have to change classroom tomorrow morning because my classroom isn't heated tomorrow. There's a heating issue at the school, and I'm moving down to a science lab on the top floor in science. Whole new experience. It's going to be hard that morning to believe all of these things about God. But, I mean, that's quite a trivial thing, really, just moving classroom, I know. But it's difficult, isn't it, to carry that with us all the days of our life, to believe that Jesus is for us and he will not forsake us in those difficult times. But he is. We can be sure of God's promises about what he will do and is doing in us. The Bible says that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Now, what I want to emphasize this morning in all of these things is that God is a God of the new. It kind of came out in the worship wonderfully there and in what was shared, but God is a God of the new. These things that I've shared with you, you will have heard many times. And it's very easy to sort of hear them again and think, well, I know that scripture. But God's mercies are new every morning. He freshly pours out his love to us every morning. So God's mercies are going to be new tomorrow morning when I move all my books upstairs to that top lap. God's mercy is going to be with me on the Tuesday, on the Wednesday, on the Thursday, on the Friday. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. He is always going to be with us. God is a God of the new, and he's the God of new beginnings. The first three words in the Bible are, in the beginning. God is an initiator. He begins things. He starts things. He creates. And this year, he's going to do new things amongst us and in us. God wants to remind us at the start of 2019 that we are a new people. We are a new people. He has made us anew in Christ. And each day, we are renewed. We are renewed. God is a renewer. He renews us day by day. If you study the Old Testament, you can see many occasions that God makes his promises to his people, and his people walk away, and he comes back. And it often uses this phrase of renewing the covenant. He renews the promises that he's made to them. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever counted how many times people disobey in the Old Testament. Probably quite a high number, I would have thought. But each time, God renews the covenant with them. And it's like that with us. He renews his promises to us daily. What's even more amazing, I think, is he doesn't just renew us outwardly, but he renews us on the inside. Right at the very core of us, he is renewing us. He is working to renew us. So another scripture I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "We do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." God renews us on the inside. It's a great encouragement for us. It does sort of validate the fact that on the outside, we are wasting away. You know, year by year, we know it. If the message was just that, it would be a little bit depressing. But outwardly, we are wasting away. But on the inside, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Isn't that amazing? And our inner self doesn't just refer to the bit that isn't our flesh. Sorry, the outer self doesn't just refer to the bit that's our flesh. I believe the outer self is everything that is not godly. Everything that is not godly. You know, our physical form is sort of slowly decaying. Very depressing to say, but it's true. Our outer self is slowly wearing away. What's also wasting away is the bits of us that aren't godly. You know, the bits of us that aren't fit for heaven, the bits of us that aren't like Jesus. And some of those bits we're quite sure about. You know, we're like, yeah, I'm always late. That bit, you know, that's going. You know, I'm not very organized. That bit is slowly wasting away. But you know what? Even the bits that we quite like, even the bits we go, oh, that bit's not too bad. I think that bit of my character's all right. Even those bits are wasting away for something better. You know, God doesn't just deal with the bits of us we don't like. He deals with us in the bits that we do like, that maybe aren't just quite at where he is at. He is renewing us inwardly, day by day. To put it another way, in Titus 3, Paul writes this. So this is Titus 3, verse 4. "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, that makes clear that it's in Jesus that these things happen. It's as we fix our eyes on him. He leads us on, and inwardly his Spirit renews us day by day, out with the old and in with the new. Our inner self is the part of us that's focused on Jesus and on his glory. And the most amazing thing about it is, I was praying yesterday for the church and for the year ahead and what to share and all sorts of things like that. And the word that God kept sharing with me was reality. Reality. The inner self, the bit of us that knows and loves Jesus, that's the bit that's concerned with reality. Now, all of this around us is real. You know, it's not imaginary. But there's such a thing, I think, as kind of the reality of what we see. And then the greater reality of knowing Jesus. It's a greater reality. It's a greater reality than what we see. And as Jesus renews us on the inside, that reality becomes greater to us. So at the start, yesterday I was praying, Lord, I don't want to be religious this year. I don't want to just do things outwardly that please you or that I think please you. I don't want to get up and think that just by living, you know, in a certain lifestyle, that will please you on its own. Lord, I want the reality of your presence to break in on my life. I want a greater reality of your presence in my life. I don't want an intellectual understanding of something of who you are. I don't just want that. I want something greater. I want the reality of your presence. This Bible is full of people who experience exactly that, the reality of knowing God, knowing Jesus, knowing his presence. Not just an intellectual exercise, but something real. And as we come to know Jesus, as our inner self is renewed, that reality becomes more real to us. Paul talks about Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, coming to terms with that Jesus lives inside of us. It wouldn't be a preach by me if I didn't refer to C.S. Lewis. I seem to do it every time. I just think it's a great quote, and it helps with what I'm talking about. But C.S. Lewis writes in the Great Divorce, which is a wonderful book, hell is a state of mind. You never said a truer word. And every state of mind left to itself, every shutting up of the creature within the dungeon of its own mind, is in the end hell. But heaven is not a state of mind. Heaven is reality itself. All that is fully real is heavenly. For all that can be shaken will be shaken, and only the unshakable remains. You know, as we come more into relationship with Jesus in 2019, as he renews us inwardly, it gets more real to us. You know, the reality of heaven is not that we will one day be there and then suddenly we'll get it all at once. There will be a great revelation on that day when we see Jesus. We will be like him. We will see things clearly, whereas now we see only dimly. But in this life, we can grow to know and love Jesus. We can know the reality of his presence inside of us. Our relationship with Jesus is an inner relationship. It's an inner relationship. It's not an outer relationship. When David commits adultery with Bathsheba and then murders her husband, he comes to realize something. Now, it's very interesting. If you read the Psalm, Psalm 51, that talks about it's David's response to God when he realizes that he's fallen so badly. It's very interesting that in that Psalm, he doesn't directly reference those two things. He doesn't reference the adultery. He doesn't reference the murder. I think the reason that is he realized the real sin lay right here in the center of it. The reason he did those things is because he'd taken his eyes off Jesus. And sin flourishes when we take our eyes off Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. But if we delight in him deep within, and we make a home for him in our hearts, he can help us to avoid the snare of sin. And you read in what he writes in Psalm 51, this very reality. So I'm just going to read you a couple of verses from there. I haven't written down which verses they are, but it's from Psalm 51. These are just a couple of things he says. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. David got it. He understood. Sin is not just about doing this wrong, that wrong, that wrong, that wrong. Sin is on the inside. Sin is the condition of taking our eyes off Jesus, of not focusing on him, of not glorying in him, and not delighting in him, delighting in his truth, as David puts there. But the thing he asks is amazing. He doesn't say, I will sort my heart out before you, God. I will turn it around. I will make a list that means that every day I don't commit these two different sins. He asks God to do it. He says, create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. David knew that God is a creator God. He creates, he renews. Everything within is new. And so he came to God and he said, would you do it, Lord? Would you create a new heart within me? And God does. We can't do it. God fashions a completely new heart for us, and only he can do it. The great encouragement for us this morning is it doesn't matter where we are with God at the moment. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter how hard life is. It doesn't matter who we are. God can renew us this morning, and will renew us this morning as we draw near to him. He wants to renew each and every one of us. He wants to create a new heart inside of us. There's that amazing song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And it's true. As we focus on Jesus, as we let our relationship with him be central, things start to just seem a little bit more dim. You know, being a Christian, we do believe in physical form. We do believe that we are physically alive. We believe that we will get a new body. We believe in physicality. But we are non-materialistic. You know, the world is a very materialistic place. It's about accumulation. It's about gain. It's about prestige. It's about power. It's about all of those things. But for us, we're non-materialistic. It's about a life on the inside lived with God. As we treasure in him, he changes us. And I want to say there's absolutely nothing restricting God from doing this morning. All we need to do is ask, and he will do it. It doesn't matter what our history has been. All we need to do is ask. I want to go back a little bit here to the verses I read at the start of the meeting, which was not the start of the meeting, at the start of my talk this morning, which is from Lamentations 3. And I want to put that in there. I want to put those verses in their proper context. So I'm going to read from the beginning of Lamentations 3. Now, I'm going to warn you, it's a bit of a buckle-in moment. Tighten your seatbelts. Because Lamentations was written, there was a custom in the ancient world to, when a city was destroyed, to write about destruction of the city and to lament over the city. And this is written by Jeremiah. And he's lamenting the fall of Jerusalem. So I'm not going to read the whole of Lamentations. Okay, I'm going to read chapter 3. I might skip a few bits. And then I'm going to put the verses that I read at the beginning in their proper place. This is how he starts. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again, all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old. He has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he has dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me a target for his arrows. I'm going to move on to the prayer. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. I've changed translations. I'm just going to go back to the one I was reading before. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. You see, the verses I read at the beginning, as amazing as they are, you really get their power when you realize the context they were written in. Jeremiah was a Jew, and he would have learned early in his life and throughout his life that the Jews were the chosen people, the chosen race for God in the Old Testament. His people, the people he's promised a hope and a future to. And he's seen his city burning. Jeremiah saw the city in ruins, his people led away, the promises seemingly over and done. You know, it's amazing that he wrote that. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He would have got up each morning. I wonder what it would have been like the first few mornings after the city was destroyed. He would have got up, the light would have come up, and he would almost have hoped it wouldn't come up. Because he could see around him the ruins of his dreams. You know, not just a city, but God's city. He would have looked around him and seen the ruins of all his dreams. And yet, he knew that God is a God who keeps his promises. And I want to say to you this morning, you might be in that place. You might be in the place where you look around you, and all you can see is a wreckage. All you can see are ruins. All you can see are promises that you haven't seen fulfilled. If you wait on God, if you put your trust in him, he will sustain you. He will bring you through. He will make you fruitful. God can do it. Just want to share a little bit personally to finish with. As I say, I'm a teacher. When I started teaching, it was many years ago. 12 years ago, I think it was. And I was pretty bad at start. I wasn't a great teacher. I believe that God had led me into it, but I wasn't very good. And I used to have days where I'd want to sort of hide behind the desk and just wait for it all to go. And those of you that know me will know, you know, the difficulty of that time. But God early on impressed on me something from the story of Joseph. And we heard about Joseph the other week. I love hearing about the story of Joseph. But it was Joseph named his sons Manasseh and Ephraim. And Ephraim means twice fruitful. And it says he names his son Manasseh because, and he says it's because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. And I felt that God had given that to me early in the days where I started teaching. I will make you fruitful in the land of your suffering. Now, it's one of those moments where you know it's God, because it's something that no one else would say. You know, I don't know about you, but on Facebook, I don't know if this year you said, Happy New Year. I hope God makes you fruitful in the land of your suffering too. It's not something you say, is it? It's not. In worldly wisdom, that doesn't make sense. You know, it's, I hope you get all the happiness you wish for. That's what people say when they say Happy New Year. But God was saying that to me. I will make you fruitful in the land of my suffering. And do you know what? I'm still holding on to that. 12 years in. I'm not going to say that I'm still an awful teacher. I probably wouldn't be there. I have improved. God has taught me. A long time ago, somebody gave me a very special verse saying, I will teach you and instruct you in the way that you should go. And being a teacher, teachers are terrible at learning from other people. But God taught me how to hang in there and how to grow. And I have seen some improvements. I've seen things change. I've realised that when God gave me that verse, it wasn't just about out there. Far from it. It wasn't just about making me a great teacher or whatever. He was doing something inside. And God has done something inside. And he has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. But it's still something I hold on to. And I wonder for you where you are. I wonder where you are with God and how you feel about all that. What your circumstances are at the moment. But it's clear what God wants us to do is say, with Jeremiah, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. You know, hoping in God and waiting for God, they're not 1, 2, 3. You know, there's no quick fix. I can't give you a manual on how to hope in God and how to wait for him. He'll show you. The key thing is our heart and our attitude before God, wanting to pursue him, wanting to trust him, pursuing him each day. And as we wait on him, he is good to us. He does restore us. He does renew us. I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to say communion together. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your message of hope to us this morning, Lord. I thank you. Your mercies are new every morning. Lord, your faithfulness is great. Your steadfast love never ceases even for a moment. Lord, we just want to fix our eyes on you. We just want you to be the center of everything we do. Lord, we just want to hold on to you, even as you hold on to us. I just pray, Lord, for all of us, that you'd restore us, you'd renew us. Lord, you'd renew a steadfast spirit within us in response to the steadfast love that you show us. Lord, we just want to be led by you this year. Lord, we pray that you would do great things with us this year, 2019. In Jesus' name, amen.